Now, okay, so how did we get started? Well, last week we did, or 2 weeks ago, we did mindfulness of the body. All right. Now, what you do, basically, there were a bunch of different practices all designed to focus in on the body. You know, one thing, let me go back. By far the most important of these, in the sense that it's the most difficult for people to really accept, is no self, especially when it's applied to what? To yourself as a person. It's very hard for people to understand exactly what the Buddha is talking about when he talks about no self with respect to the human being. This is because we're sort of geared up to think that we are, in fact, separate from everything else, when in reality we're not really all that separate in ultimate reality. Sure, we're separate in ordinary reality as we go through our day. Echo's over here, Bill's over here. Don't think Bill's there and Echo's here. At least don't talk that way when you're talking to the average person, because they won't understand. They'll think you're crazy. Okay, you all know what I mean. In ordinary reality, of course, there is a real separation between Echo and me. But the Buddhist teaching is that ultimate reality, we'll talk about this more, in ultimate reality, everything is interconnected. Everything. Okay? What really exists is this vast interconnected web of experiences, and it's interconnected both in spatially and temporally. Through time it's interconnected, and also through space it's interconnected. But that's what we want to do more than anything else. The four foundations, when we're practicing them, the big thing you want to do is get understand this no self as it applies to you.
那在练习思念处的时候呢，基本上呢，我们就是对我们这个所谓的这个错误的认知，有慢慢的正确的一种认知。那其中最难就是。 怎么解释？就是对这个无常、这个空的这个观念不容易了解，是因为世间法来解释所谓的这种世间的现象呢？比如说我 Bill 跟这个坐在我旁边的 Echo 是不一样的东西，因为我们用世间法来看是这个样子的，可是如果用一种超世间的这种观念来看呢？ 没有所谓的这个 Bill， 没有所谓的这个 Echo， 这一切的世间这个现象呢，都是息息相关，都是息息相同的，就是时间、空间，就是一种怎么讲，就是说一种不是有一种特别这个完全不变的这个 Bill 存在这里，或是一个有独立性完全不变的这个 Echo 存在的，而是就是因缘和合各种现象的一种生灭的现象，用超世间、出世间的方法这观念来解释看世间法的话，是这个样子的现象，所以对，也就是说。 你在练习这个思念处的时候呢，非常重要的就是要对这个无我的观念慢慢要能够根深蒂固的体验，而且了知，这是一个很不容易做到的一个功课。
This is a digression, but I just thought of how wonderful it is to have a translator whose name is Echo. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that cool? You found yourself. That's cool. Just thought of that. I've known her for years, and I never thought of that. All right. Okay. Anyway. All right. Okay. So now, how do we do it? How do we go through this stuff and try to break down our misconceptions about what reality
is? I want to write it in Chinese so some of the Chinese can understand what you're talking about. I'm sorry, I just, some of the people don't read English.
Okay. Now, the first thing we have to do with each of these when we try to practice mindfulness of it is we have to know exactly what we are looking at, okay, where we go and what we're looking at. So we started with the body. We did this one last time, but quickly, you want to be aware of what your body is doing. Now, the first thing that's recommended in the sutra for this is to just pay attention to your breathing. Go, when you start to meditate, if you're meditating, go sit somewhere quiet and just follow your breath as it comes in and goes out of your body. You can count your breath if you want to, various things. But present moment awareness of breathing. Now, if you are aware of your breathing, then you're pretty much aware of your body, right? Because the breathing is happening in your body, right? You're not thinking about world politics or, you know, your tax forms or, you know, things like that. You're right in your body, right where it really is right now, which is what the Buddha thinks is important, the important part. You know, what you're doing right now, your lived experience as you go through the world, that's what the Buddha thinks is important. Okay? And all the practices are designed to sort of focus in on that and try to see what's actually going on there. Okay, so we want to focus in on our bodies. One way to do that, to start getting to where we can do that, is to just concentrate on the breath. Bring your mind back to your breath again and again and again. You're bringing yourself back to your body. Okay? All right. Okay.
那现在就是我们讲一下这四念处这个方法怎么用哈。第一个呢是观身。 那观身它基本上的这个方法就是说你对于身体上的这些所有的现象都很清楚的知道。那因为我们如果对这个从来没有练习这个四念处方法的人呢，刚开始观的是自己的呼吸，就是说很清楚的知道自己呼吸进出，然后呢，因为这个在你观看自己呼吸的时候呢。 你很自然的就你的注意力就是在当下，因为你不可能说你观看呼吸的时候呢，你同时你的注意力还会放到你的这个杂念啦，就是想一些其他的一些事情啊，所以说这个方法对于这个练习把所有注意力放在当下的这个原则呢是非常好的一个方法。
Okay, now, there are several other practices in the mindfulness of the body which aren't directly breath-related and which you don't have to necessarily do in sitting meditation, so they're useful. We went over these last time quickly. Mindfulness of postures, just always try to always be aware of where your body is and what your body's doing. Actually, you know, you can actually say it to yourself, well, here I am sitting with my arms on this table and my feet crossed as they usually are. Just always know where your body is. If you get into the habit of doing that, you will start to break down your identification with your body. That's what all these things are about. I won't go through them all. There are a couple of others that are interesting, although they're a little... You know, they're a little off-putting to some of us when we first see them. Meditation on the body's unattractiveness is one of them. There's a technique that basically just means the meditator visualizes his body being taken apart, emphasizing the repulsiveness of the various parts. This is designed to produce non-attachment rather than aversion. That's important to understand. It's not really designed to make you think your body is repulsive. It's designed to make you understand what your body really is. Because our tendency is to think our body is wonderful, right? We don't want to recognize any flaws or anything about it that might not be less than wonderful. That's why it's easy to attach to it, easy to think of it perhaps as being a part of this self, you know. But, you know, don't think of it as being a morbid kind of thing where you're trying to, you know, which it sort of sounds like it is, but it's not really. It's just looking at things as they really are. Another one is meditation on the four elements, where you just break, you think about the body and just break it down into different, into the parts, and so you realize that it's not a unified whole. And then another one is cemetery meditations. There are a lot of these. Imagine your body, 3 months after you died, and if you died by the side of the road and nobody came and picked you up, what would your body look like? Imagine that. Now, of course, this is for most people, is a horrible thing to contemplate. We don't like to look at corpses decaying. Fine, you know, but corpses decay, don't they? Okay. All right, tell me it isn't true if you think it isn't true. Okay. All right. Now, the idea with these things is to try to, in some ways, detach us from the erroneous view that we have about our body, that it's a wonderful thing and that it's all we ever need. I mean, you know, I suppose when you're a young person, you're growing up, your life is going well, you know, if you're, I hate to bring him up again, but say you're Tiger Woods a year ago before all the trouble. Tiger Woods probably thinks his body is pretty cool in a way. It would be surprising if he doesn't, right? I mean, greatest golfer ever, you know? I mean, gosh, think of how he must have felt, you know? But anyway, but everything's impermanent, right? Right. And so, you know, you can't really rely on that. All right.
第一个，除了观自己的呼吸以外呢，这就是四念处的第一法，这个观身这个方法哈，还可以观其他的。那上个礼拜我们曾经提到过了，比如说，第二个就是观身不净，就是看到自己的身体呢一部分一部分的变成就是从好坏，然后完全就是腐烂，然后就不见啊。 这个方法呢，并不是要让大家觉得说好像身体真的是就是，不是说不是一种负面的一种想要就是说灌输一种好像身体真的是很坏很不好的这种观念，而是的出发点并不在那里，出发点是呢，让我们对这个身体的一种执着，爱恋，这种习气慢慢的把它改变过来，让我们对这个身体不这么执着。 不认为说只要我身体好，这一切现象就没问题了。这个观念呢，慢慢的去把它改变过来。因为就像我们刚刚提到的这个三法印，这个一切现象都是无常，然后都是空，到最后就是不是一个永远不变的。那尤其是对这个观不净观的这个，它出发点就在这里。 让我们对自己的身体呢一点一点的慢慢不这么执着。然后在其他还有一个方法呢，他提到的就是观这个所有的这个世间法，这个一切的现这些这这这些的这个山河大地，还有自己的身体呢，都是四种元素合的，地水火风合的。那这个四元素没有不合在一起的时候。 那这个东西就不见了，就分散，然后就不见了。所以这是四念处在这观身的这个第一个方法呢，你也可以用这个方法，观你把自己的所有世间的现象把它拆开来，这个是属于地的，属于是火的，属于风的，也是同样的，它的出发点也是让我们对这个世间法一切的这种这么执着，这种观念觉得恒常不变的观念，一点点把它粉碎，然后变成。 完全的解脱出来，解脱出来什么呢？对自我的执着一种解脱。那还有最后一个方法呢？他还提到就是观死尸的一种方法，因为我们人对于这个自己的身体都是很爱恋的。那你观死尸的时候呢，然后你从这个死尸人死了以后，慢慢变成一切都腐烂这个现象呢，同样的它的道理也是在于就是让我们了解到。 这个一切现象啊。 都是无常的，对自己的身体这么爱恋的身体，有一天也会坏死，就像你在观看死尸腐坏也是一样的。这些种种的方法呢，都是要让我们了解到是这个三法印所提的基本的佛法，就是无常、无我、空这个观念。
Okay, so that's the body. I mean, these things are two goals here. Get you aware of what your body actually is. So, you know, come back to your body. You know, where is your body right now? Well, you just feel it, right? Do that during the day as you go along. You know, if you get into heavy argumentation or something at work, or there's something's going on at work and you're starting to, you know, feel like you can't pay attention to what's going on, just pull yourself back to your body. Just bring your attention right back physically. A good thing to do is just go to your nose right away. Just start feeling the breath coming in and coming out. Keep your attention on that. Nobody else in the room will know you're doing it. Okay? But it'll pull your, you know, it'll pull your mental energy back into you. You'll be able to get collected again. You know? It's a very good technique. It's pretty easy. Okay.
Okay. 再强调的一点就是，你在观身的时候呢，但一般在我们在生活当中、日常生活当中用的方法呢，就是把注意力放在自己的身上。那放在自己的身上要注意什么呢？就是很清楚的知道你在哪里，你的身体在哪里，那你的身体的活动是在什么，这是做什么。所以说当你的身和心分离的时候，你的注意力不在你身上的时候，很快的把它自己的注意力放下，放回，就拉回来，拉到自己当下你的身体在做什么。然后拉回来以后呢，不但知道自己身体当时在做什么，而且很清楚知道你的身体的一些反应，冷暖、压力什么各种现象，你身上显现的各种现象呢，都很清楚的知道。这就是你一般日常生活中怎么样用这个试炼处的观身的方法，这一个就是练习很好，对这个活在当下的这种方法哈，很好的一个练习方法。
Okay, so now I want to move on to talk about sensation and feelings. Okay? Is that alright? Anybody? Anybody want to defend the beautifulness of your body? No. Yeah, Harry. Stand up for yourself, Harry. Come on.
You have a question?
No, it was a joke.
It was a joke. Yeah.
Okay, all right, so let's go on to sensation or feelings. Now this is important. When we go over this one, we're going to attempt to explain the Buddhist ideas about how the mind works and why, in fact, it is so hard for us to actually approach our experiences with bare awareness. And remember, one of the aspects of mindfulness, it's not just being here in the present, but it's not adding anything to the present. Looking at what's there just as it is, without adding on to it. It's actually difficult to do that. We're not geared up to do that. The way Buddhism thinks of a human being and our psychology, we almost automatically add on to our experiences things which come from ourself, not really from the experience itself. And that's one of the reasons why we don't see reality the way it really is, why we, you know, can get into trouble, make mistakes, and so on.
Okay. 第二个方法呢，现在讲的就是观受。那观受呢，最主要呢，就是让我们除了清楚知道，就是说我们这个念头到底是怎么样。产生，然后我们的这个念头的活动是怎么样一个情况呢？一般这个观受这个方法，如果你观成功以后呢，是针对这个非常对一般的这个众生来讲是很难的一种他没有办法，就是对于他所接触到的这些所有的现象呢， 不但是很清楚的知道，不但是很清楚的知道呢，而且呢，他不加入自我中心所产生出来一种心身心的一种现象在里面，不加入比如说好坏喜乐的这种因为从自我中心反射出来的一种感觉或是一种认知，这个是非常困难的，对一些没有学佛没有这个没有修行的这种没有练习这种各种这种没有练习的人来讲是非常困难的。所以在我们观受的时候呢，它是针对这样子的，这是很重要的，就是两个原则，一个就是不但是很清楚知道，而且呢第二个也就是不加入任何色彩在你观看对于任何你接触到的一些经验是人事物不加入自己的一种色彩进去，因为是自我中心产生出来的色彩。就是因为我们常常会加入色彩，所以我们对真实的现象看不清楚，因为我们常常一直看到对于我们感官接触到这个外界的这种现象的时候呢，我们马上就加入自我中心产生的一些好坏喜怒，因为是这样子，我们对真实的现象都是看不清楚的。所以那四念处呢，第二法就是要针对这样子的一个练习。
Now in order to understand how this works, it's good to understand what the five aggregates are. Those are the five skandhas, you may have heard that term. Very basic concept in Buddhism. It's one of the ways in which the Buddha took human experience and split it up into its component parts. Now form represents anything that's material or physical. So that would be all the outside world, but also your physical body. We're talking about your experience, what goes on as you walk through the world, what you're feeling, how it is to live the way you are. A lot of stuff is going through your mind, going through your brain. That's what's happening. Some of it has to do with form, material stuff, okay, and your body material. And some of it is sensation. Now this is sometimes also called feeling, but the basic idea is that a sensation arises when one of your sense organs comes into contact with the appropriate kind of sense object. When that happens, an event occurs in your brain which produces a consciousness, as it's called. So when my visual sense organ looks at this cup, something happens inside, but this is the object, this is the organ, and then there's a consciousness, a visual consciousness that arises in the brain. I don't know the science well enough to explain exactly how that happens, but I'm sure you all know what I mean. Now the same thing occurs with the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body. Body refers to tactile sensations, feeling things, and also with the mind. It's interesting that in Buddhism we talk about the mind as being a sense organ. It's not how it's done in the West. But it tells you something about what Buddhism's trying to get at. Because just as seeing something visually produces an event in my consciousness, which can in fact then affect my feelings and so on, if I see something I really like or see something I don't like, right? The same thing happens when I think of something that I don't like. You know, the mind works the same way. If I don't have to look at something that makes me feel good, I can just think about something that makes me feel good, right? Your mind's like that, isn't it? Mine sure is, right? You know, all you gotta do is think about it. And this whole process can happen in the same way. So, the mind is like a sense organ in that sense, and that's how it's talked about in Buddhism.
Stop this.
Are you okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right, great. Okay, so the sensations arise, this is the, and what happens then is we experience the sensation as being either positive, negative, or neutral. We like it, we don't like it, Well, we don't care about it one way or the other. It doesn't make any difference. Very quickly after that, we start to react to that feeling that arises from the sensation. If it's something that we like, it's a sensation we consider to be pleasant, we might start thinking about grasping it. If it's something we don't like, we might think about pushing it away. If it's something we don't care about, we might think about, well, I just don't care about that, which might be a mistake if it's something that actually is important. But in any event, we react, the mind reacts almost automatically to sensation. And the sensation comes when there's contact between a sense organ, including the mind, and the objects of that sense organ. Sensation arises when that happens, and our mind reacts to the sensation very quickly. Now, the next one, perception, this is what we do when one of the first things we do after the sensation arises is we try to label it. We try to say what it is. The analogy that's used for that, it's like a carpenter putting a mark on a board, just saying, well, okay, this is the 12-inch mark from the end, right? He's not making any comment beyond that. He's just saying, that's where this is. It's sort of like putting a name on it, the 12-inch line, the perception, okay? So far we haven't gotten in too much trouble, right? But now when we get to volition, the fourth skanda, which is also called mental formations, that's where the trouble starts, because that's where we start thinking about this sensation. Our mind starts going. And if it's a sensation we like, it might remind us of lots of other things, and we start thinking about them. And there are all sorts of mental formations, which are just like sort of habits of mind that we all have in our consciousness that get triggered when the sensation occurs. And they then start running wild if we don't know any better, if we haven't tried to learn how to stop this process. It just goes on and on and on and on. Then eventually as that, you know, and these can be all sorts of things that can be trouble. You know, you might, if for some reason you don't like, you know, you got bitten by a red dog when you were a little kid and a red dog shows up and, you know, before you know it, you're kicking the dog even though it's not the same dog. Right? That kind of thing can happen. So that's where the trouble is. But you see, we have to learn, when we practice mindfulness of sensations, we're going to try to learn to stay here. Just look at this. Don't worry so much about this. This one is okay, really. Just putting a label on it, that usually doesn't cause too much trouble. But when you get down to these volitions and mental formations, that's where a lot of trouble can start. Those of you who may know that volition, that's where karma occurs, right? In the Buddhist view, you know, karma only really comes when you do something volitionally. You know, you have to intend to do it on a certain level, right, to get karma. That's where this happens, okay? And then the consciousness of it, well, that reacts to it. That just, you know, arises as a result of this.
好，现在讲呢，现在讲这个。要提到的就是这个五蕴跟这个四念处的修行的一些关系哈。那五蕴你提到的就是说第一个就是色蕴。那五蕴它五蕴所包括就是所有这个我们这个众生所体验到的一切对这个世间法所体验到一切的经验的一种浓缩。第一个就是色蕴。色蕴呢，就是这个物质界一切这个现象呢，都是属于就是一种形象，一种个体，就是都是用色，都是包括在色蕴里面来解释。比如说我们看到的这个人啊，这种所谓我们的所谓的现象，身体的一种反应，心理的一种反应，都可以用色来解释。好，用色。那第二蕴就是受蕴。那比如说，我们接触到这个色的时候呢， 那我们身体上的一种反应，一种感觉，啊，这是一种就是一种色蕴产生，对不对？因为我们比如说五官接触到了外面的这个色尘的时候呢，我们身心上的一种活动就会产生出来一种感觉，啊，这是一种受蕴。比如说刚刚他拿了一个杯子，那这个拿到杯子的时候，我眼睛看到这个杯子，啊，就这个时候这个我们这个脑筋呢就会有一种产生这个产生的一些感觉会出来，啊，那这个整个现象就是说，因为我们有六根，眼耳鼻舌身意接触到六尘，然后呢接触到六尘以后呢，就会产生一种喜欢不喜欢或是一种没有感觉，这种三种现象。好，那我们喜欢的时候呢，我们通常一般凡夫没有受到这个佛法就是修行的训练的时候呢，他就会对喜欢的东西一直想要去抓着不放，对不喜欢的东西呢就想要排斥，好，就想就要把它推掉。那这样子的话呢，所以我们这个凡夫永远就会等于就是苦的一种产生了，因为我们这个我们的六根接触六尘，然后产生的一种喜欢不喜欢的这些心理的现象啊，会引起我们就会有苦的产生。那第三个这个想蕴呢，它是这样子的，它是其实想蕴的解释就是说，好像对于我们所接触到的各种经验哈，就好像贴一个标签。比如说就像木匠，他在量一个东西的时候呢，他量了以后呢，他就是用一个铅笔啊就写一下，就是说这个有多长啊，就是很简单的，他的想蕴，我们的想蕴就是这样子，对于各种事项我们接触到的哈，就贴标签啊，这是什么这是什么这是什么这是什么。那我们在练习，那这个行蕴，这下面的行蕴呢，行蕴呢就是说，当我们的根尘，我们的这个六根接触到六尘以后呢，心理的活动产生了，产生以后呢，我们这个以前这个等于是就是说，我们在累生累世累积下来的一些经验观念，对于我们这个新的这个我们刚刚我们新的一些新的这种经验加起来，就以前我们过去的这种感觉出来了。比如说你以前小的时候被一只狗咬了，那这个经验存到你的脑筋里，对不对？那经验你被咬的时候，你的感觉就是很不好的，你很害怕，就是这种感觉存在你的这个脑筋里面了。等你长大了以后呢，同样的类似的只狗，类似的就小时候被咬的那只狗，你看到了它，你看到它的时候呢，那你这个整个存在你的脑子里面这个经验又浮现出来了，对不对？浮现出来了以后呢，你就会你这个时候呢，一般的人没有修行的人，这个行运出来的是怎么出来呢？他就是说看到了这个现象以后呢，他就产生这个心理的现象，觉得害怕的感觉，然后为了要保护自己就开始用脚去踢这个狗。这个是不一样的，这是跟你小的时候那只狗是完全不一样的狗，对不对？可是为了你这个，因为你这个经验哈，像促使你这个行运，这个行就跑出来了，你这个行动就出来了，你行动踢狗的这个行动就出来，是为什么？是因为你这个前面那个想运你累积在你贴标签了，对不对？你贴那个标签，你小时候被狗咬的那个经验是不好的经验，你贴出来，所以那你现在长大了以后呢，你看到同样的时候，你就对这个你现在当下看到的这个东西呢，用你以前的那个经验加进去以后，你又产生了一个活动。这个呢就是佛学讲的里面呢，就是业的产生。业的产生呢，就是因为你这个行为啊，你的行你做出对你当下你这个你的五根你的感官啊，你的这个感官这个器官呢，跟你这个外界接触的现象齁，然后跟你以前的这种念头所记忆的东西加在一起，或者一种行为的反应。行为反应呢，好就是 好业，坏就是坏业，这个业力的产生就是在这个时候产生的。当我们这个练习思念处的时候呢，那我们所要注意的就是，注意到的就是五蕴当中的这个前恶蕴色和受，我们要练习的就是对这个色蕴和受蕴很清清楚楚的知道，而不让这个自己的这个身心的反应再继续下去，这个五蕴就是到这个行蕴这个现象。所以我们练习就是练习在这里。
Emotion. When I hear is sensation the best? Is sensation a good translation? Because the word emotion seems to be left out of these five aggregates. And when I think of sensation in America, and if I was elsewhere, I'd think of it the same way. But I think of like, oh, that's hot, or that's cold, or that itchy, that's itchy. That I have a sensation of itchiness, or like just sort of a limited thing, whereas emotions seem so much more vast as a descriptive word, like I feel depressed, I feel happy, I feel excited, I feel frustrated, I feel worried, I feel scared, I feel all these things. Is that encompassed? Is that part of sensation?
Let me change the question. 他要问的问题就是说，这个五蕴的第二蕴的这个解释，它英文的解释是受，就是感受。他英文解释，那我们中文的是受，就是这个字啊，第二韵它叫做受。英文的这个感受好像只是说身体上的感受，比如说你感觉痒、感觉痛，或是各种不同身体上的一种感觉，好像并没有包括心理的感觉。那心理的感觉就是一种情绪的反应，比如说你感觉很悲伤、高兴，或是很担心、很忧虑，这种所谓心理活动的一种感受，好像几乎这个第二蕴里面的说的受蕴哈感受，好像没有加进去，还是已经有加进去？他的问题在这里。
I think it is a good translation, and I'll explain why in a minute. But before I do that, I want to say that, you know, you can see I've got several books here which have various intelligent and interesting descriptions of the five skandhas and how they work. And they aren't all the same. Okay? You have to realize that one thing about this is the question of when these things like emotion and so on enter in seems to be answered somewhat differently in different commentators. Okay? Now, but the first thing that happens, and this is what I want you to focus on for now, the very first thing is a physical, let's think about the ear sensation. The very first thing that happens is the sound waves fall on your eardrum, right? Nothing else has happened in that instant. There's been no emotion, no thinking about why your mother didn't love you enough, and none of that starts yet. It's just the sound wave falling. I know it's funny, but this is what happens. Okay, the sound wave falls on your eardrum. That's the first thing, and that generates a sensation. That's what they're calling that first physical, the first reaction is a sensation. Okay, now it will have some emotional qualities to it because you either like it, it's either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, right? So there's you make a value, it's got something, they've got some kind of, You place some sort of value on it, because you either like it or you don't like it, or it's neutral, right? You know, it's a plus, a minus, or a zero, right? One of those, right? then some people will say, Shifu talks about this. Shifu says, he says that he just calls this feeling. And then he goes into talking about how, you know, you have your feelings arise, you have strong feelings about things. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative, you know, but they're all impermanent, right? I mean, and that's part of what we're talking about here, okay? But that's obviously something that's happened further down the road from that instant when the sound waves fall on the eardrum, right? Okay. Now, the perception thing happens very quickly. That's usually like the first thing. Let's say you're doing direct contemplation, Shifu's direct contemplation method, which is basically designed to help you start to see how this process works. In the direct contemplation, you know, if you've been on a retreat, everybody goes out and they're sitting outside, and hopefully it's a nice day, and you know the birds are chirping and the water is racing down on in the stream, and every now and then a car comes by, and of course there are airplanes flying over, and all this stuff is going on. Shiva says, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick either your visual or your auditory sense." And I want you to focus on what happens. I want you to just focus on, most people pick the sound. That seems to be the most common one. Just put your attention on your sound, your hearing faculty. Notice everything that you hear, but don't do anything more than notice it. Essentially is what he's saying. He's saying, just notice it. Don't start, you know, reminiscing, thinking, you know, all the things that you do, right? And you know, you sit down for 20 minutes and you start doing this, and as you, in my experience, and I think most people's, you know, you realize after a while that it really is pretty hard to just stay right on that first moment. Your mind really wants to start talking to itself about those sounds. It happens real fast. Now, when that is happening, what is that? That's these things starting. The mental formations, these habits of mind that you have, suddenly they get triggered by this, and they jump in, right? So what that practice is trying to do, it's sort of like a Mind Four Foundations practice. It's trying to help teach you to keep yourself focused on this. Now, I know that Shifu doesn't want you to not even perceive what it is, because I asked him once when at a retreat we did this. We came back and he says, "Are there any questions?" I said, "Okay, let's say that you're doing this, and you're out there, and birds are chirping, and you're listening, and then you come back in." And a friend asks you, "Were birds chirping?" Would you be able to answer him if you've been doing this right? You understand what I was trying to get at? Do you, when you're doing this, something happens that you can remember later as having been birds chirping, right? And Shifu said, "Yeah, you could tell him that the birds had been chirping, right? But that's all you really should have thought about with the birds, right?" And what he said then was, the first thought, if you want to call it that, that first moment when, you know, you're sitting there listening and then suddenly there's a bird sound, and you know, you go, you might even say, bird sound, right? That's not so bad. But the second thought, if you keep going from there, then you're not doing it anymore. Then you're not doing the practice, okay? Yeah, I don't know, sensation, sometimes people say feeling, you know, they use other things. But I like sensation because I want people to understand that you want to see what is the very beginning of this process. And the very beginning is when the sound waves fall on the eardrum. Okay? Yeah.
Wait, let me translate, oh, sure. Sorry. 那回答他这个问题呢, Bill解释是说, 这个其实 翻译成就是解释成 soul， 他赞成这种解说。 为什么呢？比如说一个声音产生了，这个声音产生了进入到我们的耳朵里面，那我们的耳膜接触到这个声音的时候呢，应该就是说在一个修行者的时候呢，就是很清楚知道啊，这样一个现象产生了。这个时候呢，没有所谓的心理情绪产生，就是一个很清楚的一种一个声音产生的，声音进入耳朵，然后这个耳膜接触到声音啊，这样子一个活动产生了。可是一般的人呢，不只就是停在那里哈，他身心因为这个耳膜声音接触到耳膜呢，他又继续的升起生理的那种情绪产生出来了。因为什么呢？因为就是我们以前所累积的一种记忆，一种累生累积的一种经验，对这样现象，这样子的现象产生了一种心理的反应。好，可是呢，佛学解释这个受，它就是很简单的一种，就是很单纯的，就是我们的这个五根接触到外界的一种五尘，这样子来一样子，这样子解释，就是很清楚的解释，有一种这种现象产生，所以他用受蕴来解释这个世间我们这个人所体验的这种现象。那我们为什么会有自己的情绪产生呢？因为我们就是对一切现象有错误的观念，然后我们对自我这种执着的观念，所以以前我们的记忆力对于我们当下这个经验的这个现在发生的这个经验产生了一种心理的反应，所以呢才会五蕴又接下去解释这个所谓的想蕴行蕴接着产生出来了。是因为我们一般的众生呢，就是没有办法停留在当时这个经验是什么样就是怎么样的这种现象，而会一直把内心的一种心理的反应加进去，加进去以后呢，就会产生想蕴行蕴到最后四蕴。所以这个五蕴它整个加起来呢，就是解释到一般凡夫对于这个世间哦，接触世间内心内在外在的这种一些经验的一种解释，就是因为他不知，就是为什么他就没有办法停在这个前两蕴的这个当下啊。所以师父在我们教我们这个直观的时候呢，直观以前我们去禅期或是师父教我们直观，就是要让我们练习把我们的这个感官和外界的这个这种现象停在这个受蕴的现象。比如说我们出去的时候，师父叫我们走出去练习直观的时候呢，就是每一个人找一个地方坐下来或是站起来，各种什么姿势你自己选择，或者是用耳根啊、来直观，或是用眼睛来直观啊、一般人都是用耳根来直观，用耳根作为直观的这种方法，这种感官哈、比如说你的经验是你在外面天气很好哦，一个是鸟叫，你就是听很清楚的听到啊鸟叫了。那一个真正直观做成功了以后呢，你回来的时候师父问你的时候，你会说啊你刚刚听到什么，听到你这个时候呢，你很清楚的知道啊鸟叫，而你不会加进去自己的一种感觉哦，这个鸟叫的很好听哦，鸟叫的很不好听啊、就是在练习直观，就是在练习停在这个受蕴这个阶段，而不再继续下去自己心里的这反应起来了啊、这种。所以说我们这个四念处的这个方法，就是要让我们不要把这个所谓的这个五蕴的这个后三蕴加进去，就是我们要练习，就是练习在这里。
Okay. Yeah.
I just thought people who don't read the Chinese wouldn't know that the characters used for these are very simple, and I find them helpful, and just very simple. Form is form, but sensation, the character means reception, receive. So, uh-huh. so, and uh-huh. the character for perception is the word for think. So just the basic movement of the uh-huh. mind. And volition, the character means to act.
Right, action. And
action. So, I mean, it's just made very simple in the Chinese. That's it.
Right. There are a lot of different translations for these terms. There's a lot. You know, everybody who comes writes a book on basic Buddhism comes up with new and somewhat different things. But the basic idea I want you to get is something happens, we have an experience, and then we react to that experience inappropriately, in the sense that we start taking it for something that it isn't really, right? You know, we just start playing with it based on our own past experiences and all this stuff that we've developed over life, many, many lifetimes. Okay, how many of you were here last week? Were any of you here for the Dharma talk last week? Rebecca Lee gave a Dharma talk, which was on attachment to the self, and so on. She's talking about exactly this. She didn't use this terminology, but she was talking about how, with things which are actually mental formations, these things, you know, she has certain set ideas about how the dishes should be washed. And when she sees her husband David washing the dishes in a different way, this sort of tension arises, you know. And it's because she's attached to her idea of how the dishes should be washed, and she has this sort of personal investment in it, right? It's like part of herself almost, her view of what she is, right? And that's why it causes a problem. Well, that's exactly what these things do. Okay, that's where you start to develop a sense of a personal self and who you are and what things are and all of that. And that consciousness of self like that that we're trying to weaken. Okay, the whole point is to weaken it. Now,
Okay, go ahead. 那 Harry 刚刚解释就是说从其实以中文用中文字来解释五蕴其实是正确的，因为第一个色蕴简单的就是主要就是说把一切现象就是一种色，我们看到的就是都是色，那受呢，受只是说我们接受到这个色蕴，就是很清楚的就是接受而已，就是我们用我们的感官五官就是六根来接受这个外界的六尘，就是它这个受就是这样子一个简单的一种动作。然后在想呢，那想也是就是因为这前两面加起来以后的一种身心的一种反应啊，一种产生出来了。那第四个行就是一种行动，对于这种前三运加起来的一种行动产生出来了。然后最后呢，这就是造成一种记忆，一种 conscious。进去，所以他觉得中文解释五蕴的这个字是很，其实是解释的很好的。那 Bill 他在强调的就是说，其实基本的观念，也就是说，当一件事情发生的时候呢，所谓的一件事情发生，就是说我们的感官接触到外层的时候呢，这样子一种活动产生了，产生的时候呢，是这样子一个经验产生了，那。如果我们对这个经验有反应的时候呢，反应不正确的反应的话，那就会接下去就有一些行动，然后四蕴就会产生。所以这整个我们这个四念处练习，就是要我们对这种五蕴的这整个运作很清楚的知道。
Okay, now I want to at least get through sensation today. Okay. Okay, so you have three kinds of basic sensation. Good ones, you know, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Well, these things trigger responses that are from our from the vexations, greed, aversion, and ignorance. You have a smell sensation. You're walking along on the street. Something comes into your nose. Boom. It feels kind of good in there. Oh, man, that feels good. And then right away, almost instantaneously, cinnamon bun. Hot cinnamon bun is in your brain, right? Happens just like that. Okay, and then even before you're done thinking about that, you go, have I got my wallet here? And yes, and you go, and you go in, and, you know, greed. I mean, you know, it's just a cinnamon bun, I know, but it's not, you know, but you get the idea. Suddenly you want that cinnamon bun. You want to buy one, right? You want to eat it, right? And, you know, that's not a big problem except for a lot of people, you know, we have an obesity problem in this country, don't we? Yes, I have one right in my own bedroom. Me, I have an obesity problem. But, it's the power of that desire that is triggered in that way, and the fact that we can't, you know, quite stay detached from it, that makes us again and again and again go grasping after everything that smells good that we think we might want to eat, right? Okay, if you practice mindfulness of sensation and you pay very close attention you'll be able to stop that automatic reaction that leads you to, you know, take everything that smells good and eat it right away without stopping to think whether you've already had enough to eat for that day or whatever, right? Okay. Now, same thing with aversion. You know, sometimes something might happen and you just sort of automatically hate it and you want to, you know, you want to lash out. Well, don't lash out. Okay, that's not good. We all know that. Try to notice when some kind of negative sensation occurs. I mean, one thing, this happens. You're walking down the street and somehow, you know, somebody else is walking and the two of you aren't looking at each other and you bump into each other. You know, just totally accidental, just because nobody was looking, right? But you were both walking fast, right? And somebody actually gets kind of hurt. You know, the jolt is actually physically painful, right? There's a moment there when a fight might start, isn't there? I mean, that's true. It might, you know. Now, for most of us, I mean, most people are sort of able to, you know, not, you know, they don't go flying off the handle and start fighting over something just like that, but. But it takes a certain amount of discipline, right? Doesn't it? Okay. So practice the mindfulness of sensation. You know? Okay. Also, sometimes if something doesn't give us a big feeling one way or the other, we might not pay proper attention to it. It might be something that's actually important, but we don't pay attention because we don't really have a big plus or minus feeling to drive us towards that.
在讲这个念数的受，第二念第二就是受，对这个观受很清楚的知道，那这个感受我们一般接触到外界的现象的时候。有三种感受，第一个是喜欢，第二是不喜欢，第三个就是没有什么特别的感觉，就是属于中性的一种感觉哈。那一般人来讲呢，就是接触到自己喜欢的这个东西的时候呢，就会起贪念，而且贪念就出来了。比如说啊，你走到那个面包店里面，那个很香的那个面包哈，出来了哈，你闻到了，我马上一个念头很快啊。我想吃这个面包啊，马上手的动作就出来了啊，我的皮夹在哪里，对不对？然后这个皮夹就拿出来，就要买面包要吃，对不对？所以这整个动作哈，就是很快，马上就产生出来了。那我们在练习这个很清楚的知道自己的受就是感受的时候呢，啊，就是要 就要知道啊，我的念头产生出来了，那我贪心又出来了啊，就是要练习在这个。那同样的，对于不喜欢的东西产生出来了啊，不喜欢的东西产生出来，比如说你走路走得很快，你想要去很赶，要赶到什么地方，那其另外一个人也是走很快，嘣，两个不认识的人就这样撞起来了。在撞当下的时候呢，因为这个你被撞到会痛，对不对？那个感受很不舒服啊，就是很不喜欢的感受啊。第二个念头嗔念就出来了，嗔念马上出来了。那当然一般人呢就会压制自己的嗔念，就是啊，就没有什么行动会产生出来。但有的人压制不了，就开始要打架，对不对？所以这就是说，当你这个身体接触到一个外界情况以后，啊，马上这喜欢不喜欢，这个不喜欢的时候，你就马上想要，这个念头很快就出来了。那我们练习四念处呢，这个受念的时候呢，就是要练习很清楚的知道自己的这些反应，啊。那对于这个所谓的中性，你这个经验就是说也没有什么喜欢不喜欢的这种感觉。有的时候其实是有些事情呢，我们也是很不清楚的，看不清楚，就是对这种自己喜欢或不喜欢的没有什么特别感觉的东西，其实有时候是对我们是很重要的呢，那我们都不是很清楚，因为我们没有练习是练出，我们都没有练习这个受念，没有这个在管自己这个身受的这种现象齁。所以在练习的时候，练习这个四念处的受念的时候呢，让我们就是很清楚的知道我们身体最外界接触以后的这种身心的这种感受。
Okay, one last thing, this is only a couple minutes. This is just to emphasize the importance of this sensation issue. Those of you who are experienced may have heard of the 12-linked chain of conditioned arising. It's a basic idea in Buddhism, one of the most fundamental teachings. Everything that exists exists because conditions are appropriate for it to exist. There's a big 12-linked chain that they do in a circle like this, which shows how this process works. Now, it's like when you get caught, but this is the wheel of samsara. I didn't put it up there because it's too hard to draw. But the wheel of samsara that we get caught up in. Now, there's a weak point in this chain. And that weak point is right after sensation. See, the way it works is you're born ignorant. Because you're ignorant, you take action. Action is number two. Those actions produce karma, which then is carried by your consciousness into the next life. So the fourth link is when the consciousness from the first life enters into the second life, right? A new fetus, okay? Now that fetus develops the six sense entrances, as they're called. Those are the six sense organs we've been talking about. Okay, they develop in the fetus. Then, because the fetus is born, or maybe even before it's born, it has contact with the world. Those sense organs come into contact with the sense objects. What happens? The next one is sensation. So that's what we've been talking about, right? Sensation arises when the sense organs come into contact with the sense objects. Then, what happens after sensation? Desire. What happens after desire? Grasping. What happens after grasping? Becoming. That means you're already trapped and you're going into the next life. But now, in this process, and then it goes on to the next life, birth, and then aging and death, and then again you go around the wheel again. There's one place in this wheel where there's a weak link. A link where if you apply yourself, you can get out of it. It's what comes after sensation. Okay, fine, you've got your sense organs. Fine, you had contact with sense objects. And fine, sensations arose because of that. Do you absolutely have to then have desire, which leads to grasping? Do you have to do that? The answer is no, you don't have to. if you practice Buddha Dharma consistently, you'll be able to leave it right at number two there, the sensation. You're not going to go, you don't have to go to the you know, the part that really hooks you in, okay? That ties you into the wheel of samsara. So sensation, mindfulness, and how do you do it? You do it by being mindful. If you're mindful of this, you don't have to, you know, eat every cinnamon bun that comes your way. You don't have to get into fights every time somebody mistakenly steps on your foot. Okay. Yeah, it is. I mean, to the extent that we identify ourselves, the idea that we have of who we are is caught up in all this stuff that's been developed down here, the stuff that is, you know, when we get excited and remember everything that ever happened to us and so on. That's what we identify with. And when we think of that, oh, that's me, that's me. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lose it, right? But if you do this practice properly, you won't even get to that stage. Okay.
最后要提到的就是所谓的十二因缘法。十二因缘法是把世间所有一切现象解释得非常的清楚，这个世间怎么产生的，人怎么产生的，这个讲得很清楚。十二因缘法也可以用苦轮来解释啊，就是因为我们一直生生世世就一直在这个十二因缘里不停地打转，所以我们就在这个苦，这个世间这个苦啊，娑婆世间啊，这个一直轮回不变啊。那十二因缘是第一个是什么呢？就是无明。无明就是因为我们累生累世对真理不了解，没有看清楚，不认知，所以我们一直都蒙在这个无明里面。因为无明呢，我们就有产生行动啊。因为有行动就有业，业造成以后就有业的力量。那业力量，随着这因缘的这个合，那业啊，这个根这个种子就发起来啊，发起，那你又种下新的业，对不对？等于种了新的种子，那新的种子因缘合以后又产生，所以无明下去就是行动，行动，因为这个业产生以后就有这个我们的这个所谓的事啊，就是意识啊，就意识，这个事包括很多事，比如说从有第九事、第八事、第七事，这些事都是包括在这个事里面啊。这个事就是累生累世所累积的这种经验、感觉、新的、旧的啊，这都加在一起，所以无明行事。因为有这三样东西，那就产生这个色啊，色产生出来了。那色产生出来以后呢，就是六入就出来了。六入呢，就是那种小孩子的那种感官，对，六根就出来了。那六根接触外界的六尘，这个触这个现象就出，这个触的因缘就产生了。这个触产生以后呢，这个六根接触啊，这个触感觉以后呢，就有一种受蕴，就受就出来了。那受出来以后呢，因为我们是众生是凡夫，那受我们接触以后有这个受蕴产生，受产生以后呢，就有爱。那爱呢，产生以后就有取，对不对？那取呢，取就是一直就抓了，抓了，抓着以后呢，就有这个存在的这个有就产生了。然后因为有这个身体出来以后呢，就有生老，然后死，就整个这个十二因缘，它这个一直就是这样子的一个轮回。哦，那我们要练习的呢，就是练习最重要的一点，就是当这个在受的时候呢，我们不要再下去有这个爱取有生死，就十二因缘要断，就是断在这个地方，这是一个十二因缘的这个弱处，就是在这个受这个地方。如果你停在这个受，我们有爱取的话，那你整个十二因缘就会破掉。所以我们十二因，我们这个四念处，我们这个所有这个方法，就是要让我们很清楚、很清楚的知道我们这个感受、身体，我们身体对外界的一种接触、这种现象，很清楚的知道。那你我随时随就是随时随地随处都很清清楚楚的知道，这个时候呢，那 那你这就不会，你的这个身心的这个现象，以前的那感受就不会加进去，不会加进去以后呢，你就不会再造新业，不会再造新业的时候，那就等于一直这样子练习下去，练习下去以后，那你的十二因缘这个整个这个环就破掉了。所以这个四念处的这个妙处就在这里。谢谢大家。
I'm going to be talking again on June 20th, and it looks like I'm going to be continuing with it. Everything takes longer than you think it will. Isn't that part of Murphy's Law? Anyway, thanks a lot. I hope it was helpful to you. The only other thing I'd say is when you're at home, if you want to practice this, do so. Just sit, you know, you're home, sitting in your room quietly. Just put your attention on your ear.
And just see what happens when sounds appear. Does your mind start racing? What exactly happens? Try to keep your attention right on the ear, on, you know, the sensation itself.
Alright.
谢谢大家。